Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So imagine if you build up a business for about 35 years, and this big media company says, we'll buy it for $4 billion. What do you say to that?
I don't know, Gene. That sounds like your bank would probably like that.
Well, of course, that was George Lucas. He sold Star Wars to Disney, and just as you thought there had been more than enough Star Wars movies, six of them, there's going to be a seventh.
And an eighth and a ninth.
I can't wait. No, I take that back. I can wait. Does the world need more Star Wars? Think about that. Do we really need that?
Evidently, Disney thinks so.
You know, we were going to have some fascinating guests on, and you can tell me the story, but this particular guest situation, I think it was two people, right? Where they felt that 2 hours was too long to do a show and then decide 2 hours wasn't enough. Would you explain this to me?
Well, we called Tom and Lee Butler, who have a communication website. They're out of Nevada. They've been involved for many years in EVP research and other ghost-type investigative work. And, yeah, we were asked by one of our listeners, you know, if we'd like to have some help getting some guests. And they were suggested to us, so we contacted them. And at first they kind of balked and said, well, we're really busy, and, you know, 2 hours seems like an awful long time. And then we booked a taping session with them, and then they canceled, saying that 2 hours wasn't enough time to cover all their material. So I don't know. I guess you can't be all things to all people out there.
Well, this is part of it right here. It's either too long or it's too short. And I know we had someone else interviewed, a year or two back, where we played recordings of EVP effects.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have enough time over the time it takes to record the show to cover all the recordings. We had to kind of gloss over a few things. So it wasn't sufficient, but we still had a pretty good show.
Yeah, that was with Michael Esposito, if I remember correctly.
Michael Esposito was one of our more fascinating interviews. And I kind of sad that these other guests, after all this, decided not to come on. Maybe they heard of our reputation. Our reputation preceded us?
Maybe.
Well, you've also been trying to get that time traveler on the show. Bisaggio.
Yeah, Andrew Bisaggio. And Richard Doty and Whitley Strieber. We've had a number of guests that have expressed interest of coming on the show, and then we book them, and they cancel out.
Well, Richard Doty is probably the flakiest of the bunch, I think.
Yeah.
Because he is so defensive about what he does, and you think if the guy has the guts to perpetrate all these disinformation schemes or downright hoaxes, like a Project Serpo, or maybe he was responsible for MJ-12, but one of the people responsible for the MJ-12 documents, somebody who has the guts to do that would have the guts to sit for a couple of hours or so on a radio show and let us ask him questions. He's an intelligence agent or an intelligence officer. He can't answer questions?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. Well, maybe the show's reputation does precede us to a certain degree. Well, I think we're pretty easygoing guys. We don't really get too, in people's faces unless they create an opening that demands that. And, of course, we're going to jump through that opening.
Well, at that point, they deserve it. You know, for example, we get criticism sometimes when we have a guest who tries to filibuster. And let me explain about filibustering first. Filibustering is like you used to be able to do in Congress, but not anymore now in the Senate. You just say, I want a filibuster. And they say, okay, you're going to filibuster, and therefore it's a filibuster. You don't have to sit there, read telephone books or anything like that, and sit up all night. We have guests who don't seem to understand this is a commercial radio show. And every 9-10 minutes or so, we have to do a break. So they go on and on. So I stop them, or they say something that appears to me to be particularly dumb. So I stop them and say, wait a minute, let's talk about that. So, of course, you then get listeners who say, why did you interrupt the person? Well, it's because they can't just talk and talk for 2-3 hours without interruption. Maybe they can do that without taking a breath. Maybe they have iron lungs. I don't know. But there are times we have to break and we have to ask a question. It's as simple as that. Now, just to go back to the U.S. Senate, I was thinking of a Star Trek episode where they had a computer on both sides of a war playing computer games. And when they kill somebody, the physical representation of that person had to go into a disintegration chamber. They said, well, you've just been killed. I didn't do anything. Yes, but the computer defeated you on the screen, so therefore you're dead. So, of course, that war ended when people were made to realize you can't do that. You can refuse. You have the right to refuse to be killed, in which case they were faced with the prospect of having a real war with real physical damage, and suddenly they said, let's settle this. So maybe the way to eliminate filibusters in the U.S. Senate is to say that if you want a filibuster, that's fine. You get up there and you read the phone book for 3 or 4 days and see how you like it. That will stop it real fast.
Yeah, I didn't know that they changed the rules.
Right. You just basically say, I filibuster. They don't sit there. It's not like watching those movies from the 1940s where James Stewart is sitting there with the phone book.
Yeah. Hmm. Boy, they're sure making it easy on themselves. They make all that money, and they now they don't even have to get up there and filibuster and pee in a bottle or something.
Well, I understand they have a special price on catheter tubes in Congress. But I think the reverse is true. They just take extended vacations. Of course, some people would prefer that they take extended vacations for, like, ever.
Yeah, a permanent vacation.
That would be right. That would be much more interesting. There you go. But we have some really fascinating shows that are coming up. And I believe you booked one for next week, as a matter of fact.
I did, actually. We're going to have to book two because I'm going to be gone to Palenque.
Okay. I hope it's not contagious.
Well, we'll see. I really love it down there. It's the highlands of Chiapas, just above the Guatemala border. It's the zenith of the classic Maya. And the city of Palenque is just absolutely gorgeous. The howler monkeys and the wonderful people down there, the wonderful Maya. It's going to be quite fun. My Zuni friend Clifford Mahudi was going to go down with us, but we were unable to find a suitable dialysis operation for him. He does undergo dialysis, and so David Childress has decided to take his place, so that's going to be fun. I've never actually traveled outside of the country with David, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Might be some interesting experiences. We'll get you both back on here with a unseen report from both of you. But today we're going to go to Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay, right. We have Margie Kay, who
we're going
has been
to Kansas City.
Kansas City, here I come. Margie Kay, by the way, is a former professional musician, but she's also been researching UFOs and the paranormal for over 30 years. And currently she's Assistant State Director for Missouri MUFON and Director of something called Quest Investigation Group. But she's here to talk about a UFO flap. What was the last UFO flap? Well, there's been one in the Kansas City area, as visitors to the PowerCast forums know full well. So she is going to be talking about that, about all sorts of paranormal events such as cattle mutilations.
Yeah, right. Right next to the airport.
Right. Some weird stuff is going on in Kansas City, and it almost makes me feel, well, maybe some other people want to go to Kansas City, but maybe I want to stay away for a while. But now we're going to lose all our listeners in Kansas City because of this. But there have been a number of really unusual cases. She has been in the thick of it, and apparently she's writing a book called The Kansas City UFO Flap. So she has been collecting all this information, and this, my friends, is going to be a pretty hardcore nuts and bolts UFO-oriented episode, but with the cattle mutilations and other stuff going on, it's not all about UFOs. There have been other things happening, fascinating things, maybe frightening things, and you're all going to want to know about it. So once again, our guest is Margie Kay. She is the Assistant State Director for Missouri MUFON, and I don't think we'll get into the office politics at MUFON at this particular point in time. She's got a lot of good work to talk about. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You know, neighbors, meetings are essential to the way we work. It's an opportunity to share ideas, problem solve, develop creative solutions. But if your team is spread out in different locations, coming together can be an impossible task unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online.
Learn how GoToMeeting helps you meet with your colleagues just as it helps me. You know, of course, we use GoToMeeting here on the show because it's necessary for me to communicate with the people I work with. And no matter where you're going, GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen to make it easier to be on the same page. And now you can present from your iPad. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com. Remember, neighbors, seeing is believing.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. In all orders to the lower 48, ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
My name is Stephen Hewer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He's become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast this week, we have Margie Kay, Assistant State Director for Missouri MUFON. She's been involved in UFO and paranormal research for over 30 years. And by the way, that is not her day job. So I just want to clarify that. But welcome aboard, Margie. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast on very short notice, as a matter of fact.
Well, thanks so much. It's my pleasure.
Now, I'm going to ask you one simple question to get started, but Chris has a host of questions because he knows all the people in your area that you work with and has lots to talk about. But let's just get started here. Everybody has a story about getting involved in this crazy business. What is yours?
Oh, well, like many, many others, I had my own sighting. So, you know, I wanted to investigate and see what that was all about. And as a result, you know, I opened a can of worms. I had no idea what I was going to be getting into. Yeah, my sighting was actually in 1986. when I was living in Seattle, I'd taken my girls out and my brother out into the country so that we could watch the meteor shower that was happening in August. And as we lay back on the hood of my 1968 Mustang, we're watching the sky, and all of a sudden this star-like object came along and went directly above us and in front of us and then stopped. My brother said, you know, I thought that was a satellite, but it looks like it stopped. I said, yeah, that's kind of strange. And then a second one came along the same trajectory and stopped at the same location. It kind of looked like they joined together, but, you know, from that distance, it was difficult to tell. And then yet another one. So anyway, five total of these objects that we thought were satellites stopped at the same location. But when the fifth one got there, it instantly looked like they all joined together and they shot off at a 90-degree angle at a super high rate of speed and out of sight. So at that point, I realized I was looking at something that was probably not from this Earth.
I'm going to ask that deep question here. That it was something unexplainable, why do you leap to the conclusion it's not of this Earth?
Well, you know, it's just your logical mind stepping in. And at that time, I didn't have any knowledge of super high-speed, super-secret military aircraft. And, of course, you know, since then, I've done a lot more study on that. And I realize now that certainly that may have been something of ours, but that's what sparked my interest in getting into the UFO topic.
All right, let's look at the possibility here. Ever since the late 40s, when we had the modern UFO era begin, there was a feeling by some that at least a portion of those UFO sightings may have been our own craft, maybe stuff we got from the Germans. We're playing with this. We acquired all those German scientists, we and the Russians, and we had them do their thing, and maybe they doing their thing produced some of those sightings.
Sure. You know, that there are a lot of theories, and that's one of them. The Germans were extremely advanced, and there's a theory that they had their own Roswell incident, and they back-engineered, so to speak, some of that, and they may have had some things before we did, but the fact remains that we still have so many things that are being reported that remain unexplained. And of course, there are a lot of things that our military has and other countries that, you know, they're not informing us about. And in fact, I just recently spoke with someone who's ex-military and said that anything that we are aware of right now in the public that the military has produced is 50 years behind the times of what they actually really have.
The thing I worry about when you hear that kind of theory, though, is what about the wars we get ourselves involved in? So we go to Iraq, we go to Afghanistan, we have to deal with problems in Libya and rebellion in Syria and all that stuff. If we have this technology out there, why aren't we using it? You think of how many of our troops have been killed.
Yeah, that is a huge question. Why indeed? I don't have the answer to that.
Well, if there's a pair of twos on the table and you're sitting with a pair of fours and two aces in the hole, you're just going to just up and up and up the pot. You're not going to show those hole cards unless you have to. So
right,
because it's
used, you have the danger of the enemy capturing it and then reverse engineering it.
Yeah, I'm sure we're using all sorts of things. Michael Esposito, who we had on the show a couple of years back, was a PSYOPs officer in the First Desert Storm. And he kind of hinted around at some acoustic weaponry that we used and some psychotronic weapons platforms. And he kind of reminded me, remember the footage of those Iraqi soldiers coming out and kissing the feet of our soldiers and appearing just totally shaken. He said it wasn't by accident those guys came out like that. I mean, we were unleashing some pretty sophisticated technology that you don't hear about every day. So the same may hold true, I think, in the realm of aeronautics as well. Of course, the work of Joseph Farrell, Henry Stevens. There's a number of very, very interesting research projects that have been going on for quite some time, looking into the level of German technology at the end of World War II. Victor Schaubarger and the Vortex implosion devices, circular devices. There were a number of them. And there is a paper trail. You know, how do we know Roswell wasn't the Germans coming up from Argentina just kind of spooking us with a flyover and then inadvertently getting crashing from in a lightning storm? I mean, there's so many possibilities. There's so many alternate scenarios that I think we shouldn't factor out or we shouldn't factor in, but we should at least be aware of those. So I agree with you totally, Margie, about the state of the level and state of technology. Generally, something that becomes operational now has been operational for 15 to 20 years. So, you know, if you'd seen a stealth fighter in 79 fly over you in the Nevada desert, you would have seen a UFO.
Oh, sure. And I believe that a lot of the triangular craft that we're seeing are actually ours, because the evidence is that there are so many of them, and they fly low to the ground, and they're near many of the air bases.
Especially out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, we've got Whiteman here.
A lot of sightings like that out there.
We've got Whiteman 50 miles from Kansas City, and a lot of sightings of the B-2. Everybody in this neck of the woods knows exactly what the B-2 looks like. You know, it's not surprising that still gets, you know, we get some reports of UFOs, and it's actually the B-2, but that doesn't rule out the possibility that there are still, you know, possibly otherworldly craft that look similar.
Yeah, the ones that take off in the blink of an eye. I think the jury's still out on the level of our technology with the black triangles, but generally they're thought to be lighter than air and slow moving.
Yeah, most of them are slow moving here. One of the strange things, though, that's fairly new is that some of the reports I'm getting are that they simply disappear. But we know, I mean, it's even been on like History Channel where they've shown the technology to make things invisible.
Right.
And
yeah,
with invisible suits or on the planes themselves, they put cameras on the opposite side. So, you know, that certainly could be one of ours as well.
We'll get into cloaking devices and more. A lot more. We have Margie K joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
Feedback Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Margie Kay, who is the Assistant State Director from Missouri MUFON, joining us. We're going to be segueing into the Kansas City UFO flap momentarily, but right now we're talking about secret weapons being mistaken for UFOs, about possible cloaking devices and stuff like that, advanced technology. But do you think you folks at MUFON have a pretty good handle over which sightings are possibly caused by secret weapons and which are just unexplained?
Oh, no. No, I don't think we have a handle on that at all. I think, we're all in a learning phase and a fact-gathering phase. If we knew that, we would have the super top secret clearance somewhere. But, you know, that's not the case. Those of us foot soldiers on the ground our job is to collect evidence and report that, you know, and file it. And others actually do. I don't know what they do. They'll review that and, you know, maybe investigate it further. But, in some cases, I don't think they get investigated any further than what we do on the ground.
Now, one thing I'm going to ask about this, when you talk to people who've had UFO sightings, do you probe into whether they've had other paranormal type encounters?
Well, that's not a standard thing with most of what MUFON does. However, we do have some fairly new questions on our report form that have to do with that. So, yeah, the consensus is that when a person has a UFO sighting and reports it, generally what we find is that there's more to the story. And so in questioning, you know, after the basics from the sighting have been obtained, we'll find out that they have had other UFO sightings, maybe close encounters, maybe some paranormal events happen. And it seems to be pretty common that people who are ET experiencers or UFO experiencers, you know, that's what we call that category, do have other strange, unexplained things happen.
Well, let's look at the story of Kansas City, what's happening there. Is there a history, a large history, for the benefit of our listeners, of lots of UFO encounters in and around the Kansas City area?
Well, historically, we had a UFO flap in Missouri in 1973 and 74. And this coincided with many Bigfoot sightings as well across the state. In fact, they call Bigfoot here the Missouri Momo. Now, a lot of people think the two of those phenomena are related. But from that period until 2011, Missouri was actually pretty quiet. We didn't have a whole lot of sightings. If you go back through the archives, there's very little there. We did have, in the year 2000, I'm sure you remember the big Illinois UFO flap where they saw this, well, I don't want to call it a flap because it was a single sighting. A large triangular craft flew over many counties in Illinois and actually traced the path of this. Well, we just recently got a report from a fireman in Missouri who saw the same thing. So it actually, now we can follow that path into Missouri and then going north, and this is on the west side of St. Louis in that general vicinity. Well, other than that one big thing, there hasn't been much. And then in 2011, we just started getting inundated with a lot of sighting reports, and starting with, in April of 2011, starting with a retired police officer in Raytown, Missouri, which is right next to Kansas City, saw not only a triangular craft over his backyard hovering, but an entity in his backyard. And that's when the craziness just started. I mean, it was like this floodgates opened, and we started getting reports increasing and increasing every month, and levels of high strangeness with close encounters and missing time and paranormal events associated with these things, until we get to October of 2011, when we had 87 sighting reports in the state, and we were actually, we had more reports in our state than anywhere else in the world during that month. So the cause of some of that has been determined. We found that there were two flying teams in October on the 4th and on the 31st that flew over the Chiefs Stadium here. They're unusual, in fact, that most people had not ever seen anything like this. And what they are is this elite team that flies in close formation with six or seven planes. And they have these very bright flashing strobe lights all over the planes. So from a distance, they actually look like one large UFO. And so they accounted for several of the reports that we got in. However, that was only four or five reports out of the 87 for the state. So we still have a lot that are unexplained.
Now, looking specifically at the cases in more detail, which ones seem the most sensational in the sense they have more data, more indications of being unknowns?
Well, let's go back to May, May 7th, 2011. I went to do an investigation in St. Louis and interview a man there who claims to have been in contact with ETs since he was age 12, and he's 63 now.
Now, contact in the sense of meeting physical beings?
Meeting physical beings at specified locations once or twice a month is when this man claimed to have done this. Now, there a series of events occurred which made me believe that this might have been the real thing. And so I went out and interviewed this man. When we got to the location where we were going to do the interview, my camera battery completely drained. I picked up another battery, installed it, and I have a really good Sony professional camera, video camera. And then that one completely drained. So I was not able to use my camera, but Debbie Ziegelmeyer was with me. She's our state director. And so she videotaped the interview. I interviewed this man for 2.5 hours. And right at about 30 minutes before the end of the interview, suddenly the energy about the area changed. And I'm only telling you this story because I think it's related to the Kansas City events.
The energy about the area changed? How did you sense that?
Well, it was just something that it's difficult to explain, but I noticed that there was something different going on, and my attention was drawn to the sky above us and slightly to my right. So I just very quietly said to Debbie, film up there, and I pointed. And then I continued my interview with this gentleman. And so she aimed her camera in that direction, and she took some video and stills, even though we couldn't see anything with the naked eye. So I finished the interview, and I had a sense that there actually was some type of energy or entity with us during this interview, although we couldn't physically see anything.
And now, it's really, we should mention here, too, that you've also been involved in ghost investigations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and again, that started when I was much younger, and I actually had my first ghost sighting. So, yeah, I'm a paranormal investigator as well. Although I felt like this was ET-related at the time, although I had no proof of that.
Okay, so I just want to complete the clarification here. If it's unknown to you, it's not a ghost, it's ET.
No. It's okay. Just a sense that I had at the time, and I can't really explain why I felt like it was ET.
Okay, just a feeling. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you understand that. We're going to get into much more of this as we progress, this particular case, basically because of what she felt and what she saw. We have Margie Kay. She's Assistant State Director for Missouri MUFON. Our main focus is on a UFO flap in and around Kansas City, Missouri. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready. Some are not. MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff, ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos.
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Well, don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
Are you storing food? Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, we join Margie Kay, who's telling us about some unusual encounters in Missouri. And you were telling us in this particular case, you had the feeling an E.T. was there, but you didn't see it.
That's correct.
Okay.
And did anything show up on Debbie's camera? Or
yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes. There were some anomalous things showed up in that photo, and the photos that she took. In a couple of them especially, you can tell that there's something in the clouds, and right in the area where I pointed. So I had a sense that something was there, didn't see it, asked her to photograph it, and then it showed up on the photo. Now, I don't really understand how this works, but it's, you know, it's some form of sensitivity that I have to these things. And that's all I can say. I don't really understand how it works. So, anyway, how this leads to Kansas City. I left St. Louis, drove to Kansas City. I am on I-70, right outside of Odessa, which is not far from Kansas City. And once again, I suddenly get the feeling that there's something in the sky. So I took my cell phone camera, stuck it outside the window of the car while I'm driving 70 miles an hour. I think I slowed down a little bit and snapped a picture, and then I just quickly looked at it, and there was something there. So I pulled over at the Odessa exit, looked outside my vehicle, and I could see nothing, but I still sensed there was something there. So I took another picture, and there is this picture of a UFO. I mean, this brilliant UFO is on there. So I had a sense that this was related to my interview in St. Louis, that this UFO actually followed me back to Kansas City. Now, of course, this is only a speculation. I have no proof that this is actually what happened, but over the next week, some very strange things would happen. The next day, people in Blue Springs, Missouri, which is not far from where this incident occurred, I mean, we're talking about a few miles from this, people started reporting hearing Apache helicopters leaving the Lee Summit Regional Airport, which is a small airport, and those helicopters have never been seen there before by anybody that I've talked to. And they would see and hear these helicopters. One would go up, the other one would come back, and then another one would go up. For 24 hours a day, they were going in what appeared to be search patterns in that area. And on the seventh day, they were gone. On the sixth day, that night. The next morning, we got a report from an insurance agent and three other people who had stopped on I-435 in Kansas City, and they reported seeing 125 orange balls of light shooting up from a tree line right along the highway and then going up into the sky, into the clouds, at the exact same location.
125, does that mean you actually counted this? They counted it?
One of the men counted it.
Oh, okay.
He counted them. He said what would happen is one would come out, it would split into three, and then go up. And another one would come out, split into three, it'd go along this tree line at about 60, 70 miles an hour, and then go up in the sky. And they all went to the same location above the clouds. They couldn't see, you know, what was there above the clouds, but, you know, here are these balls of light. One of the gentlemen that stopped on the highway called a friend of his who was further south at the 63rd Street area, and he took 13 pictures of these orbs that I have. So here we have some documentation. We've got, you know, a reputable witness. I've got another witness who will not let me say his name, but he was with the other man at the same time. And then the very next morning at 4 a.m. in the morning, going back over to the Blue Springs area in Lee's Summit, which is right next to Blue Springs, some five people were leaving work. And they were driving, 4 o'clock in the morning, driving home. They see a mile-wide silver metallic disc going very, very slowly directly east with three lights on the bottom of it, with two round lights and one long light, which is kind of odd.
Mile-wide. Now, how did they determine that size?
Just a guess. It's okay. A guess. They showed me the area. They drew pictures. I had each person draw pictures in a different room. They all came up with the same thing. They were all credible witnesses. One of the radio TV stations got involved in this and interviewed all of these witnesses. This is all on YouTube and on the station. I think it's KCTV5 that did it. So, you know, we've got a lot of documentation, a lot of different witnesses, and then I had other witnesses in different locations that claimed to have also seen this large disc. So, these are from a different area,
Margie,
seeing the same thing.
Going back to that the original interesting six-day time period where it appears that the military kind of out of character, I guess, for that particular airfield, was conducting round-the-clock flights. Obviously, you're equating that with the appearance of the 150 orbs, the 50 orbs that split into three, I guess. Now, how do we know that that wasn't some sort of military project or something terrestrial as opposed to something high strange or extraterrestrial?
Well, it may have been. It may have just been a strange coincidence. But it's just one of those things that's extremely odd because we're talking about a small regional airport and these were fully armed Apache helicopters doing apparent search patterns day and night, you know, right over people's houses. That's extremely odd. And, you know, you just don't hear that. In all the years I've been doing investigations, it's extremely rare to hear something like that.
And it's really hard not to... It's really hard not to make the leap that somehow the events were connected. I find it interesting, as soon as all the choppers leave, the following day you have such a dramatic sighting.
Yes, and then if you look at a Google Earth map of the area, there is a lake right there. And one could surmise that, let's say there was a UFO, let's say they wanted to hide, the lake would probably be a good choice for doing that. Evidently, those choppers were looking for something. What it was, I'm not sure. But then the day after they leave, well, actually that night that they left, here comes this, here this UFO appears.
Was anybody able to identify where the choppers were coming from? In other words, where they were based?
We called Whiteman. I mean, that would have been the first choice, and they said no. We called Fort Riley in Kansas, and they said no. We called the Strategic Air Command in Omaha, and they said no. So, and whatever, you know, if it was some top-secret mission, they wouldn't tell us anyway. I have no idea. It's just very odd.
How high in the sky was it?
Well, mile wide, and they said just above tree level.
Okay, so it was
very low.
Very close overhead, so you could hardly see the end of it, could you?
Yeah, and very, very slowly as well. You know, the group of people I spoke with said they were just amazed that they were standing there watching this thing, and if it was aware that they were watching it, it didn't seem to care about that.
Okay, now how long was it in the sky? What kind of maneuvers did you see? Can you give us some more details?
It just went in a straight line. Path. It was flying very slow. It was 4 a.m. in the morning. They watched it for about 10 minutes as it just slowly went out of sight. It didn't disappear or shoot off. It just went in the straight direction.
And about how fast?
Well, I don't know. You know, when it very slow is, you know, they said it was dead slow. So I don't know of any standard craft that could do that sort of thing other than a helicopter.
Well, also a mile wide. A mile-wide craft. This is almost like Independence Day, the movie, where you had these huge ships. Well, except in that case, I think they were 15 miles wide in that movie. But a mile is an amazing distance. You have to think how many craft we have that's multi-thousands of feet long. You know, like an aircraft carrier is how big?
What, 300,
a quarter mile, I think.
Three football fields long, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this, you know, it also is headed east, which is the direction I'd come from St. Louis. So have we got another factor involved? Maybe it was going back where it came from.
Well, the size would seem to mitigate the possibility it was anything conventional, unless we have a flying aircraft carrier that's being tested by our military. This is really getting more and more fascinating by the moment. Margie Kay, Assistant State Director of Missouri MUFON's here. We're going to be talking about lots of different events, but right now focusing on a number of very compelling sightings in the Kansas City area and thereabouts. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.